Hallelujah. Love it when the Lord says, Vic, you got the message right this week. He says it noon again. Some weeks, it's like, I'm not sure what I'm going to be preaching on. I didn't really settle what I was going to be preaching on until Friday night, which is quite late for me. And it was interesting last night, Nancy came into the study. What name are you preaching on tomorrow? I'm not telling you. You hate waiting here with everybody else. But it is, the name I'm going to be preaching on this morning is The Lord My Shepherd. And like two out of the first three songs were based on Psalm 23. Fantastic. It might be a longie this morning. Don't have a lot of material, to be honest, but a couple of big passages. But as we were driving down this morning, the guys would have probably noticed I was really quiet. I go into my cave and I think. And all the way down, the Lord was saying, you haven't mentioned this. You haven't written down to speak about this. You haven't got that in. So it might be 2 weeks or it might be a long one, because I was going to work my way through Psalm 23, but I only looked at the first two verses and then got sidetracked. So it's like, the Lord was kind of saying, well, what about verses 3, 4, 5, and 6? And also, I'm going to talk out of John 10, quite a long passage about Jesus being the good shepherd. And there's kind of so much in there that I've kind of just taken out a wee bit here and there. And the wee bits that I've not taken out, God is saying, well, what are you going to say about the fence? What are you going to say about the gate? What are you going to say about the door? I'm saying, I don't know. I don't know. So it might come. Anyway, fourth week, names of God. So far, we've looked at three cracking names. Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, and Jehovah Rapha. Or I looked at the Hebrew. I think that Jehovah Rapha is Jehovah Rapha, R-A-W-F-A-W, Rapha. So what I said last week was all wrong. Well, no, just the pronouncing of his name, Jehovah Rapha, Creator, Provider, Healer. Is that not enough? He's got loads of other names, but Creator, Provider, Healer. Great descriptors of the character of God. And I'm going to carry on today looking at another one. And I've kind of stolen my thunder already. You know it's the Lord, my shepherd. So let's pray. Because we want understanding on this, don't we? Yeah. Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for our worship. Thank you to be able to come into this place and gather as church, as ecclesia, as the people of God. Thank you that we're here. Thank you that now it's time to look at your words. We know it's the truth. We know it's your breathed word. We thank you for it. Thank you that it's described as a seed. And I thank you that it's now time to plant some seeds. Plant some seeds in our heart. Pray that our heart has good ground to receive this seed. Pray that we open our ears, open our minds to let the seed in. And I pray specifically for understanding, for every single person listening to this message. Pray for understanding right now in the mighty name of Jesus, so that seed cannot be stolen away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mean, you should have, I pray that every week. Pray that before we do Bible studies. Pray that every time we look at the Word, because it's so important. I mean, the last 2 weeks, the messages have been, he's made provision, and you can have it if you understand what it says in his word about it. So understanding is the key. I was going to say there's no point in just reading it. No, yeah, you can read it. But if it's going to impact your life, if it's going to change you, if it's going to renew your mind and see you being transformed, you need to understand it. And that's when I preach, that's why I tell you the same thing again and again and again, because it's to get understanding. So turn to Psalm 23. another descriptor for God, another name for God. We're going first to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. Same kind of model this week. Old Testament. We see God saying, it's coming. We see in the Gospels, Jesus doing it. And we see confirmation in the New Covenant. That's what we saw with provision, wasn't it? In abundance. That's what we saw with healing. Well, no surprise, it's what you're going to see today. It's what we're going to see probably every week. So Psalm 23. I love this. Just love this passage. You know why I love it so much? Because this is about me. And I love me. Yeah, this was written by David. But it's me speaking this. This is mine, and it's yours as well. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. You see, it's all about me. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's a really important word there. Do you know what it is? Shadow. Yeah, no substance, nothing to it. Just a shadow, nothing to worry about. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I was thinking about this. I think this is a great psalm. But more often than not, I just hear it at a funeral. Yeah, we hear it at funerals. We sing it at funerals. But man, this is a passage for today. This is a passage for right now. This is a passage that we can read and say, because we are post-cross, because we are living under the new covenant, because Jesus has died and is raised again, we can live like that. That is a good passage. Read it as if it's for you. Because it is. Primitive roots, this word, shepherd. I mean, we know the word Lord is Jehovah. The word shepherd is ro'ah. Ro'ah. Primitive root of this word means to tend a flock, to pasture it, to graze it. Not implicitly, but it's to be a shepherd. That's the primitive root of this word. And we all know what a shepherd does. This is an obvious message. We all know what a shepherd does. He looks after the sheep. Does anyone need that anymore? He looks after the sheep. Who's the sheep? We are. He looks after the sheep. He protects them from wild animals. He takes them to food and water. I want to look very closely at one word in this verse, though, before we go on. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In my scriptures, is in italics. You know what that means? It wasn't there in the original Hebrew. So the key, take out is. The key word in this verse is my. My. We need to remember that. He is not described as a shepherd. The Lord is not even described as the shepherd. I mean, we'll see later in the New Covenant, he's described as a good shepherd. He's described as a great shepherd. But in this verse, he's not described as a shepherd or even the shepherd. He's described as my shepherd. My shepherd. And you've sung that already. You sang that in one of the songs, the Lord is my shepherd. I want to get it into your heads this morning. The Lord, remove is, the Lord my shepherd. Say it.
The Lord my shepherd.
Again.
The Lord my shepherd.
And one more time.
The Lord my shepherd.
Remember that. The Lord my shepherd. There's people in the church who think, yeah, I know God heals. I know he's got the capacity to heal. I know he's willing to heal. I know he's a great God, but I'm not sure if he'll heal me. Because they know the things that they think about. They know the things that they've done. They feel this worthlessness. There is an epidemic in the church today of low self-esteem and worthlessness. Of people in the eyes of God. They think, oh, God looks at me and he just sees a dirty, rotten sinner, a worm. No, that's not true. He sees you as holy and perfect and pure and righteous, and he loves you to bits. And he's your shepherd. Personalize these things. The Lord is my shepherd. I was glad that Stuart said today, that the Lord wants us to have a deeper relationship with him. Because you know what? He wants the same.
Amen.
He wants to have a deeper relationship with us. And Psalm 23, and about being a shepherd, is all about personal relationship. My Lord, my shepherd, I will not want, maketh me to lie down, I will fear no evil, etc., etc. It's all about us with him. Personal relationship. Personal relationship. That's what this is all about. David wrote it, yes. David wrote it and said, my shepherd. But we know there's other verses. God is no respecter of persons. You know what that means? He's got nay favourites. So what he does for one, he does for another. No, he doesn't do for another. What he does for one, he does for everybody. He even does it for Evelyn. Evelyn's got it. Evelyn, you're part of all. The exclusion of nobody. Hallelujah. No favourites. I don't know if this was just me or God speaking to me. He said, yeah, David wrote it. I was thinking, yeah, he doesn't have any favourites. Here's David writing this. And God doing all these things for David. And I know God doesn't judge people and rate people, but humans do. And I just had this thought, if he would do it for a murderer, an adulterer, and a fornicator, David, aye, and a godly king, when he wasn't being a murderer, an adulterer, and a fornicator, he was, apart from that, he was an A-bad bloke. Kind of thinking, he'll get this no respect for persons. If he's going to do it for him, man, he's going to do it for us. Although God doesn't judge or rate people, but on a human level, we can think like that. Oh. Before I preach anything else, you have got to get in your heads that Psalm 23 is about you. And you can read it as if it's about you. My shepherd. My cup is going to overflow. Goodness and mercy is going to follow me. It's amazing. It's kind of covering what we did for the last 2 weeks. Goodness and mercy follow. That's healing and provision. It's awesome stuff. So I did say, right, let's work our way through Psalm 23, but I didn't get there. I looked at verse 2, though. Did look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What does sheep need? Sheep need food, sheep need water, sheep need safety. That's all their basic needs. Their needs for life. Pasture, that's grassland, that's their food. Yep. I love this bit. If they're in their food, in their grass, and they're lying down, because it doesn't explicitly say this, this is talking about safety. If an animal is eating, but then they lie down, that's because they feel safe. If they're up, like meerkats, or folk in an open plan office, not like meerkats, they're not feeling safe. If they're always looking, they're looking for predators. If they're lying down, they've been satisfied and they're safe. And he leadeth beside the still waters, so he takes them to water, of course. Here in this verse, in verse 2, I love it, it talks about the Lord being a shepherd, and verse 2 tells you just about everything that a sheep needs in order to have a life. And they get that from their shepherd. Absolute and complete provision is what verse 2 is talking about. What a sheep needs, food, water, safety. And the shepherd in this psalm gives them that. Everything that they need is provided by the shepherd. I mean, you all know where I'm going. You can see the picture, but I'm going to lay it on thick. Everything that they need for life. Sounds a bit like 2 Peter 1:3. Let's just add in the and the godliness and we get it as well. Everything that they need for life is provided by their shepherd. This is a picture of Jesus. I'm going to have to state the obvious. You all know that. But this is a picture about Jesus. My shepherd, our shepherd, we're the sheep. I mean, we seem to have this view that sheep are stupid animals. I'm happy to be a sheep. I'm happy to be a sheep. I've seen further on, I don't want to be a goat. I'm happy to be a sheep. I'm on that side of the divide. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, I'm happy to have a shepherd like Jesus. We're the sheep. This again is going to sound obvious, but this is what this passage is about. We have complete provision from him through his finished work. His work as a shepherd. We have absolute and complete provision through that finished work. Healing, abundant life, prosperity, joy, peace. That's all we've seen about for the last 2 weeks. He provides it. And we see it manifest through the knowledge of him. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. We've looked at that verse so often, we don't need to go there. But it was his divine purpose to give us everything that we need for life and godliness, and we see it manifest through the knowledge of him. So he's our shepherd. The sheep we see there in Psalm 23, it looks like they're living out 3 John 2. Isn't it? The sheep have got pasture, safety, water. That's prosperity and health. Tie it into 3 John 2, another one of our favourite verses. In this context, he has given the sheep, or the shepherd gives the sheep, everything they need. And for us, we get everything we need. Not everything we want, but everything we need. Pertaining to life and godliness. If it's not pertaining to life and godliness, you can keep it. Then I want it. Picture of Jesus as our shepherd. And it's an analogy Jesus uses himself. Jesus was great. Jesus grew up in an agricultural economy. Which is great for me, because he speaks about seeds. Don't worry, there's no barley in the message today. It's no maths either, don't worry about it. But he grew up in this agricultural economy where everybody grew their own food, everybody knew what it was, what it meant to scatter seeds, everybody knew what it meant to plough and what the oxen did. And everybody knew what a shepherd did. So he uses that analogy for himself. So turn to John 10. This is where I actually haven't written down a lot, so I don't know how long this is going to take. John 10. Really, the majority of John 10 up until 18, oh God, is about being a shepherd, but and I can see sheep in verse 25 and 27. Was there any sheep further on? So a lot of that is about shepherd and about sheep. So let's have a look. Verse 1. I'll just read through at the moment. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will he not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Man, how important is verse 4 and 5. I will cover that a little bit. We need to know his voice, so that we know the counterfeit when we hear that as well. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I love the fact that one of my favourite verses about abundance is right in the middle of Jesus, a passage about Jesus being a shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling will not, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of him. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have which are not of this fold, but also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that it might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. See, nobody killed Jesus. It's his decision. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is a passage all about abundance. No, it's a passage about Jesus being a shepherd, Vic. No, this is a passage all about abundance. Aye, it mentions him being a shepherd. But it's all about abundance. The sheep and the shepherd, we know that's talking about Jesus and talking about us. But it's all about abundance, because right there, slap bang in the middle, is the abundance verse, isn't it? John 10:10. The shepherd provides abundance, bountiful provision for his sheep. That is what Jesus came to do. This is talking about him being a shepherd. In the middle he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundant life is why Jesus came. Oh, he came to deal with my sin, Vic. No, he came to get rid of the sin so you could have an abundant life. He came and dealt with sin so you could be sozoed. The whole package, salvation. Jesus didn't come to deal with sin. That was one of the things he had to get past in order to fulfill his mission, to finish the work of him who sent him. Amen. Which was to get you sozoed. Oh, abundant life. Oh, man. where does the church get off talking about how we should be poor and, you know, not, they say humble, it's not the right meaning, and God's going to make you a better person by giving people illness? Oh, why? I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Thank you.
Amen.
How can you misunderstand that? It's like Andrew Womack says, you need to get somebody to help you misunderstand that. There are lots of people trying to help us misunderstand that. Oh, Paul's thorn in the flesh. Ananias and Sapphira. Herod. Oh, all these, whoa, whoa, whoa. Abundant life. That was his mission. He came to be our shepherd. That's what he came to do. And how was he going to do it? By giving his life for the sheep. We know everything's because of the cross. This is just highlighting it again. We have everything through his finished work, through the cross. Not because we are good. We don't get everything because we're good. We get everything because he was great.
Amen.
He was fantastic. He was brilliant. I'll boast about him. We're going to boast about we do. We know that's a reference to the cross. I mean, I could go on and on. For our salvation and our provision. Well, provision is within salvation. It's not an extra thing. For our salvation, we know what he did. He would lay down his life. The role of the good shepherd. You know, that's like, if you went back then, you got a role profile, you applied for a job for a shepherd. If you wanted to get the good shepherd job, one of the prerequisites was be willing to lay down your life for your sheep. That's a good shepherd. The good shepherd. That word good, the real meaning is beautiful, valuable, or virtuous. My beautiful shepherd. My valuable shepherd. My virtuous shepherd. That can only be speaking about Jesus, because he was the only one perfect. The only one virtuous enough. The only one good enough. Perfect and sinless. Wonderful picture of Jesus saying, guys, some of you think, why did the disciples not get it? You know, he's saying here, guys, I'm going to lay down my life for you. And then they leg it and scatter when he's on the cross.
Yeah.
What's he doing on the cross? He's laying down his life for them. I mean, they wouldn't say, oh, remember he said that in John 10:11. You know, they wouldn't say that because they didn't have the scriptures then. But I sometimes think, surely one of them must have said, did he not say something about laying down his life for the sheep? Obviously not. Hindsight is a wonderful thing. We've got it. We can see. I mean, we've got masses of stuff in the Old Covenant as well. Actually, this is Old Covenant. But we've got masses of verses saying Jesus is going to die on the cross. Oh yeah, and he's going to raise up again. So we see he's a good shepherd, and we see what he's going to do. And we see how he's going to do it. Wonderful picture of Jesus being the shepherd who would lay down his life for his sheep. That's really important. Verse 3 talks about him calling his sheep by name. Verse 4 talks about the sheep will know his voice. That's another picture of personal relationship. You know my voice, my dulcet tones. Because we're in relationship. If you'd never met me, if you hadn't spent any time with me, you wouldn't know whether I was Tom, Dick, or Harry, or Vic, listening to my voice. I phoned a shop for Nancy one day last week. As usual, I was concentrating on someone else. So the phone rang, Zan picked it up, and I was like, "Oh, hi Zan, is Nancy there? It's Vic." She said, "I know it's you, I know you're breathing." Not even my voice! Not even my voice! How did she know that? Because we've been in a relationship for over 30 years. I mean, this one here, my wife. Stop smiling. I'm not smiling. She says, "You're smiling in your head. I can hear by the way you're breathing." And stop. She says, "Stop. Don't say that." "So what? I wasn't going to say anything." "Yes, you were. I could tell by the way you were breathing." It's true. I mean, not she knows my voice, but she knows my breathing. I can't even get away with anything in my head. Don't think about me like that. How did she know? "Oh, I can tell by the way you're breathing." Because we're in relationship. I tried to catch Val the other day. I shouted, she was going up the stairs, I shouted, "Val!" Because I was going to say, when she came down, I was going to say, "How far would you have been if you hadn't come back?" But she said, "I'm not coming back. I can hear in your voice that you're just going to do something." So, relationship. Relationship. That's what this is talking about. You don't know someone. You're not in relationship if you don't know their voice. If you know their voice. And this is talking about not just knowing their voice, because I know Bruce Forsyth's voice. Yeah. But I'm saying know their voice. I don't know when Bruce Forsyth is going to be sarcastic by the tone of his voice. I don't know the subtle meanings. He's saying one thing, but I knew he's saying something else. I'll say something about, she knows it's sarcastic, funny, whatever. Knowing their voice, it's about understanding them, being in that deep relationship with them, so know the subtleties of what they're saying, know the heart behind what they're saying. That only comes about through deep personal relationship. And that is what he wants. He's saying, "I want to be your shepherd. That is why I came. I want people to know my voice." Jesus wants a deep, meaningful relationship with every one of his sheep to the stage that they know his voice. He wants that with every single one of you. He wants us to know his voice. And people, we need to know his voice. Why? Because of verse 5, when the liars and the strangers come along and speak in the name of Jesus, we can say, not a chance. Not in a million years is that in the name of Jesus, my friend. I know his voice. I know his voice. And having to pay 10% of everything I have in order to be blessed is not the voice of Jesus. Thank you. So take your tithing and do what you want with it. And then because you know the voice of Jesus, you probably end up giving more than 10% because you love him so much and you know his voice. We need to know his voice so that we know the counterfeit when it comes along. And it will come. It will come. And it'll be in sheep's clothing. False teachers. It'll be subtle. And want to draw you in. But if you know his voice, you know what's not his voice. That's one of the One of the benefits of knowing his voice, you know when it's not his. Wonderful. In order to know the lies, you have to know the truth. In order to know the counterfeit, you have to know what is real. I've used this analogy before. When people are getting trained up in counterfeit money, they're not showing counterfeit money. They're showing the real deal. You study the real stuff. So that then you can say, I don't know what that is. I don't know who made it. I don't know where it came from. I don't care. It's not real. You don't have to know all the different formats that it comes in. You just have to know that it's not real. Know what Jesus says. So you don't have to know all the multitudes of nonsense that's out there. You don't have to study all them to make sure you don't get involved with them. You just need to know the real deal. If you know what your shepherd is saying, you'll know that the wolf and the false teacher is saying something differently. Yeah? So we're going to get there eventually. You all know it's coming. You need to get into the Word.
Amen.
In order to know what he's saying. It's about a deep personal relationship. And guys, it's getting better. Oh, let's go back to the Hebrew word, ro'ah. There is an extension to this word. So it doesn't just mean to deal with a flock, to pasture it, to graze it. The extension means to associate with as a friend. To associate with as a friend. A companion. To keep company with. To make friendship with. Try and say this without crying. Jesus is my friend and companion. That's what Psalm 23 says. The Lord, my friend. Man, I've got some great friends. Sorry, guys. Nothing compared to Jesus.
Amen.
Sorry, Nancy, you're my best friend, but nothing compared to Jesus. My friend! If he had a Facebook page, I would be on it. If he had a LinkedIn profile, I would be LinkedIn with him. Man, I'm LinkedIn with him, spirit to spirit. Don't need him to be on LinkedIn. Hallelujah. Friend, companion. Guys, try and get your noodles around that, especially when we look at the three names for the last 3 weeks. Elohim, Creator, Mighty, my friend. The Lord who will provide. I like to say now the Lord who has provided. My friend. Got a need this morning, guys? My friend will sort it out. My friend will sort it. Remember that was what the sort of meaning of that word was? Healer. My mate will see to it. That's just awesome. But it's the Elohim. That's the one that gets me. King of kings, Lord of lords, creator of the universe. My mate. That'll make you feel good. That he's my friend. He's your friend. Psalm 23 is about you. It could be translated as the Lord, my friend. Not only protecting us and providing for us and making sure we get the water and the food and everything that we need. What is that about a friend? He likes us. See, some people don't get that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, God, yeah, I know he loves me. But do you know he likes you? You know, he likes you all the time. I mean, I gotta admit, sometimes I'm a pretty difficult guy to live with, right? And I'm sure there are times when these two in the front row still love me. But maybe then I like me for a wee while. Like I don't know the amount of time. I've got singing Tourette's, according to Nunzi. And unfortunately, it is very loud, singing Tourette's. And the amount of times that Nunzi has said, Vic, Val's still in bed! I'll say, yeah, but she's near asleep. You know, I'm sure there are times when Val's lying in bed thinking, oh, Dad. But you know, human relationships, see, this is why it's so difficult. When I say to people, Jesus loves you and Jesus likes you, they put it on a par with human relationships. And they think, well, I know what I did yesterday. Does he still like me? He's still your friend, your companion, constant companion. How can you say that, Vic? I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Never leave me is constant. He is our friend, the Lord, my friend. I'll ask you the question. You might believe he's your shepherd, providing for you, but can you believe he's your friend? Because he is your friend. And that is what he wants. Remember, the Lord is no respecter of persons. He's got no favourites. What he does for one, he does for the rest of us. Go to Matthew 9:35. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When he sees us in difficulties, in distress, he is moved with compassion and wants to be the shepherd in that area of our life. He wants to protect. He wants to see us getting the provision. He wants to see us having it all. It's what he wants. If he was moved with compassion for that lot, he's moved with compassion for us. He wanted to be their shepherd. He wants to be the shepherd of every single person who's ever been born. He wants every man to come to repentance. He doesn't want to see anyone lost. He wants to be the shepherd of everybody. But then, sadly, we know from Scripture, there's a narrow gate and a wide gate, and most folk go in the wide gates. We know not everyone is going to want to be his sheep. But he wants to be every shepherd. Healed everybody. Every sickness, every disease, gone. He wanted to be everybody's shepherd. And he still does. You see, without a shepherd, they were fainting and they were being scattered abroad. Fainted, to me, is lack of food, lack of water. Scattered everywhere is lack of safety. They weren't being provided for, they weren't safe. Jesus wanted to provide that for them. Talks to me of poverty and lack of abundance. Jesus wants to provide prosperity and abundance. We may have a bit of pride and think we can do this life thing on our own. And people out in the world think that, and there's people in church that think that. But we can't. We can't. We cannot go through this life without the Good Shepherd. Only true safety, true provision, true abundance is found in Jesus. We know that. We need the shepherd. Man has got this. I mean, you see it by the nonsense that people go after spiritually. Man has this need within him to be spiritual, to look for whatever. I've heard it called the God hole, that space within us. We cannot do this life on our own. I was thinking about it on Friday night. I was trying to think what my life would be like if I hadn't met Jesus in 1991. Doesn't bear thinking. Yeah, don't waste your time. A stupid question, Vic. It doesn't bear thinking about. Where would I be? Might be dead or be on some corporate treadmill. Mightn't have my family. It just doesn't bear thinking about. Folks think they can do life on their own and they're having a great time. You're not. Let's be honest. Without Jesus, what would life be like without Jesus? You're born, it's terrible, you die. That's the abundant life. The only abundant life you can have is with Jesus. And we know that. Yeah, Stuart, you're right. It doesn't bear thinking about. Pointless and worthless it would be without Jesus. No, we need a shepherd. We need a friend. We need a companion. We need Jehovah Ra'ah. Mark 6:34 is the same account of Jesus having compassion on his people and wanting to be their shepherd. But it's got a really important extension to it, which is another extension of our shepherd, our friend. When Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Jehovah Ra'ah, our shepherd, friend, companion, also our teacher. Shepherd as a teacher, as well as protection, as well as abundance, he teaches us. He has to, because it's being taught and renewing our mind, that will see us have this abundance and provision made manifest in our lives. If the Lord says in his scriptures, you can get everything pertaining to life and godliness through knowledge of him, it would be terrible of him not to provide us with the knowledge. It's just logical. Teacher. Yes, he's seeing to our physical needs, but he's also seeing to other needs, our knowledge. And that is part has been provided by our shepherd. What is it, Vic? It's his word and it's the Holy Spirit. He left so that the comforter could come. Our shepherd provided the comforter so that he could, through us studying the word, he could impart unto us revelational knowledge and help us understand the word. Teach us so we could see manifest what Jesus had provided. Wonderful. All provided by our shepherd. So that's the Old Covenant scripture. Gospels. What about the New Covenant confirmation, Vic? Hebrews 13. And I'll read from verse 18. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willingly to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. New Testament confirmation, New Covenant confirmation that Jesus is our shepherd. Because that passage is talking to believers and it's saying, you believers, you're the sheep, here's your great shepherd. The Lord Jesus, our shepherd. The Greek does mean shepherd or pastor. We know that means guide, it also means leader. The great word, that word great, means exceedingly great. Hallelujah. You know what else it means, guys? Loud. So, as pastor of this flock, as the shepherd of this flock, I model myself on the great shepherd. And I'm taking that meaning. Loud. Loud, mighty, strongest. That's what that word means. And this is very interesting. That word sheep, what it literally means is something that moves forward. It implies that it's on four legs. But that Greek's amazing, isn't it? After that one word. It's talking about something that goes forward, but implying that it's on four legs. But let's just do an animal farm. Four legs good, two legs better. But let's look at the going forward. Our shepherd is here to get us going forward. That to me talks about doing things well, doing it good. You know, that boy's done well. He's really going forward. He's really moving forward. Jesus is not about stagnation, and Jesus is not about going backwards. It's about moving forward with our shepherd. It's wonderful. We can make progress. That to me is talking about prosperity. We progress when we go forward. Our shepherd wants us to move forward into abundant life. That's what this is talking about. So we've seen about Jehovah Ra'ah in the Old Covenant. We see Jesus being this shepherd in the Gospels. And we get confirmation from the New Covenant that Jesus Christ is our great shepherd. Same model that we're using for looking at all these different words. But I want to finish with a challenge. The last few weeks have been a bit of a challenge as well. Because all this provision, I was going to say over here, it's not. It's all this provision inside us. And it's our job to work it out. We have our part to play. It's not works, but we have things that we need to do in order to see these things manifest in our life. And we have a similar situation here. Because people, if you don't know his voice, you can't say he's my shepherd. If you don't know his voice, you can't say he's my shepherd. You'll be tossed around, going whatever way, listening to loads and loads of voices, and you won't be letting him guide you, protect you, provide for you. In order for him to be your shepherd, and that is what he wants. He wants you to say, my shepherd, my friend, my companion. If you don't know his voice, that is not going to happen. So we started with Psalm 23:1, the Lord, my shepherd. David knew his voice. It's not going to mean it stopped you making mistakes. You'll still make mistakes. I'm not speaking death, it's life. And you know what? You'll probably make lots of mistakes. But he'll still be your shepherd. The mistake we make is we hear his voice, we don't listen to it. That's when we make mistakes. But if we can't say, I know his voice, we can't say, he's my shepherd. Begs the question, how can I know his voice? You've been coming here long enough now. If you're asking that question, you're pretty dumb. Let's be honest. Because it's the same answer week after week after week. How do I know his voice? Read the Bible. Now let's rephrase that. Read it, study it, meditate on it, pray it, live it, learn it, understand it, get into it, sing it. Whatever way you need to do in order to study it and understand it, you need to do that. Man. So many times in my, it's not a huge career in the church, but it's been a long time, folk have come to me and said, God told me to do this, Vic, and it's fantastic. And I said, no, he didn't, because it's not in his word. You may hear voices in your head telling you to do things. If it doesn't line up with the word, it's not God. How do you know if it lines up or not? You have to know the word. Now, I'm not saying God will not speak to you. God does, and God speaks to us. But it will always, always, always line up with his word. This is where you've got to be careful. He might give you something specific. He might say, Vic, Nunzi, I want you to move into and minister in Elgin. It doesn't say that specifically in his word. But you have to get to a stage where you can hear all the other stuff that does line up with his word. And when you're at a stage like that, you will know when God is speaking to you about a specific. Someone came to me and said, Vic, marvellous news. God told me to give up my job and go on benefits. And I said, well, aren't you blessed? Well, thank you. I said, no, I was being sarcastic. I said, aren't you blessed? You're the only person in the whole world that God says something to that goes against his scripture. Oh, what do you mean? The word says you will be blessed by the work of your hands. The word says if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, I'm not against benefits. I am absolutely not against benefits. Because we need them as a safety net. We need them as a safety net. We used to be on them. Temporary, thank you. But it's not something that God will tell you to do if at that moment you're being blessed by the work of your hands. Oh, but Vic, God told you to give up your job. Yeah. He told me to give up my job. I never went on benefits. As soon as I gave up my job, there were people saying, how can I support you? Before I even asked, how can I partner with you? As soon as I gave in my letter of resignation, God started saying, right, Vic, we're going to set up this wee business. And you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. And then more people come along and said, I want to partner with you. Yes, I gave up my job. But I didn't give it up to go on benefits. Oh boy, did I have to be pretty sure that was the voice of God.
Yeah.
How long did that take me? How many years? Long time. Well, no, it was actually perfect. Because everyone was ready. But we have to know the voice of God. Know the voice of the shepherd. Especially on the specifics. But what we do first is we know the voice of God through what the word says. God will never say to you, I am making you sick in order to humble you, to make you a better person. Or even more perverted, he will never say to you, I'm making someone in your family sick so that you will become a better person. Never. Because scripture says God doesn't make people sick. Scripture says God makes people better. So if you ever, ever get this little voice in your head saying, well, there must be a reason that you're sick. No! That is not the voice of my shepherd. Get out of my head.
Amen.
Take that thought captive. My shepherd says, by his stripes I am healed. My shepherd says, I'm going to provide you abundant life. What part of sickness is in abundant life? None. Oh, well, you know, it's actually pretty good that you don't have too much money because you can just live humbly and live within your means. No! My shepherd says, I can be prosperous, so I can give unto all good works. My shepherd says, he wants me in health and prosperity above all things. My shepherd says this, you're going against my shepherd, out. And then once we get to that stage, get to when he says move into Elgin, we'll have to. If that's what he says. Hallelujah. So I want to hear what the Lord says. At the moment, the Lord is saying, Lossie, Murray, and hallelujah, aren't you blessed?
Yes.
That me and Nunzi, the second and third best Bible teacher in Murray, is here. Hallelujah. I think I will finish on that. I challenge you. as I do week in, week out, get to know his voice. Guys, there's only one way to know his voice. Time with him. Yes, in prayer, in meditation, but mainly in his word, with the Holy Spirit standing at your side. Look at that verse, Vic. Look at that. That's talking about you. Look at that verse, Vic. Look at that word, my. Look at that word, my, Vic. Spend time with the Lord in his word. Because that is what he wants to be your shepherd. He wants to protect you. He wants to provide for you. And he wants to teach you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.